Mama!
Interlock. That is, you interlock the two.
Now stretch them quite as
soccer and the
quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
I felt like a reptile. Like a reptile. I felt like a reptile.
On my bait.
What's the Polaris this weekend? Is it 11?
Polaris 10. Polaris 10?
Is it Polaris 10?
Yeah.
Sponsors confirmed.
It's Polaris 10, but Polaris 11 is because you're thinking of what a contents is.
That's it. That's why I'm confused.
There you go. See?
That is why I am confused. Okay, hello. Are we all right? Are we all good?
Do we need to clap?
Oh, shit.
Oh, we've not got the haptic.
Send me the raptor cam. Oh, we've got a sticker on the microphone. I like it.
Have we?
Nice. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Full Reptile Radio. It is not Monday, and we are not recording at the start of the week.
We're not, dude.
Because I've been in London working on Inside the Octagon.
How was that?
It was good. It was exhausting.
Yes.
Henry Cejudo, Marlon Moraes.
Right.
And Gustafsson against Smith.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to that. More so.
Me too.
Unless we can guarantee that Marlon Moraes sparks my mate.
Yeah, well.
You never know.
You never know. Henry Cejudo at Bantamweight. We'll save that for another time. Yeah. We need to talk about the fights from the weekend.
We do.
How are you, first of all?
Yeah, that was going to say. How are you, man? How was your
good,
birthday?
Man. Nice shirt.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
This is my custom sister's 40th birthday shirt.
It's nice.
I decided. I didn't have any other clothes in the house. I was like, I'll make myself something.
That's good. You've got to chop wood now, though.
I do. But the thing is,
the beard's coming on
as
well.
I did the top button.
Oh, you did the top button. Almost, so you've got to learn how to tattoo or cut
fully
hair.
Fully hipster, yeah.
You've got to do one of the two.
I'm good at colouring books.
Tattoo or cut hair. Or figure out a way of financing yourself sitting in coffee shops and critiquing other people.
Well, apparently, because I bought this and did the top button up, I've got a free acoustic guitar on its way.
Oh, nice.
Not all the strings are intact.
No, of course.
No, but no. I thought I'd rock this up and go with the leg on top.
Actually, you're black. Looking a bit like Ben Chiliberty at the moment.
Oh, man. Chili's a lucky guy, isn't he?
Chili is.
Hey,
yeah.
Check that out.
He is. He's moving to Vegas.
That motherfucker.
I know.
Shout out to our mate.
I'm jealous.
So, how was your birthday?
It was good, man. It was good. It was good.
There's something really good in the other room that I don't want to bring attention to.
It's going to take me days to complete it.
Dude.
You know what? On Christmas Day, Brad Pickett posted a photo of his ultimate collection Millennium Falcon. And
right.
It's a ridiculous box of Lego. I've never seen...
It's about the size of this table width.
The thing is, I almost brought it out and put it on the table.
Should we get it?
I didn't want to be braggadocious, and I also didn't know whether the table would be able to hold it.
Wait there.
Honestly, it's too heavy. I reckon it's too heavy. He's gone to get it. I'll have to move his coffee because he'd definitely knock it over. This thing's ridiculous. So Brad Pickett posted a photo of his on Christmas Day, and I was very jealous.
Did you say braggadocious? God.
Braggadocious.
Oh, that was the cocky dinosaur.
It's a beautiful word, isn't it?
Is that going to be all right there?
I just don't know whether the table's going to hold it.
I can put it back on the floor.
Oh, that's going to take me days to
jealous
days to build.
Is a fucking understatement.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It makes my one look like a Happy Meal toy. And I got the good one.
Mm.
It was like 150 notes, but this is fucking insane.
That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. That was my happy birthday present from my parents and my sister.
Oh, awesome. Wow.
Awesome.
Thank you, Mark, Elaine, yeah. and Jen.
And those things are like rocking horse shit.
Mate, they're so
like funny. They're so difficult to find.
Well, me and Slim were talking about.
Hang on, I often forget that we've got people that just listen.
We've just had
a massive,
an oversized box.
Millennium Falcon, Lego Millennium Falcon.
If you bought a telly back in the day and it came in a box, an old CRT TV. This is heaviest.
Right, it's ridiculous, isn't it? That's like 30 kilos of Lego.
Yeah, 7,150 pieces. 7,421 pieces.
What are you doing? Are you sending dick pics again?
Yeah. Taking dick pics.
We've got to keep an eye on him.
I've just seen
filthy.
iPhone
Everything's got a Raptor sticker on it. Have you noticed?
Of course it has. I only gave them them about 20 minutes ago.
Well, that's the thing. I know, that's the thing. Everything's, they've all been used immediately.
Well, Gerd, our frequent listener and friend of the show, he messaged me, he bought a cap and he was like, yo, got any Raptor stickers? Mm-hmm. And it was about 1 a.m. and I'd literally just ordered them. And I was like, it just so happens, my friend. And he's like, do not send the cap until there's a sticker to come with it. And I was like, all right, mate. So I did. But just nipping back to Star Wars real quick.
Okay.
I was saying to Slim, before all the new Star Wars stuff came out, mm-hmm. I was born in 81. So my neighbor was older than me. And by the time I was, say, 7 or 8 playing with figures, he was like 13, 14 and mad into Snatch and all that sort of stuff. So he was like...
The game?
Yeah.
The one where you used to catch the ball on the
poker. One pink one and a green one. Yeah. I don't want Star Wars anymore. I'm going to go and play Scatch.
Yeah, for like a whole 18 months, everybody had one of them. Yeah. They bought them in Spain.
Yeah, we got the fake one.
Back and they were like, we're going to play with these every day when we get
it
home.
Pulls it off.
And then, yeah, then, mate, they'd fuck up.
Our friends had the proper branded Scatch and we had like Scotch or Miff or some shit. Chuff. The Velcro game Chuff. Merkin Chuff.
I don't know why.
But it was like they were both pink instead of it being one pink, one green. Yeah, we got fucked over.
Yeah.
So James, who I used to live next door to, was like, yo, do you want my Star Wars gear? And I was like, fucking yeah, for real, man. So I got the Hoth thing, which was like a molded piece of white plastic that had like an exploding draw thing or a bridge. I got like 2 Millennium Falcons, one that was just jacked with no lid, no legs, nothing, and then one that was cool. So we used to use one that was like if it had crashed. Then we had like X-Wings, TIE Fighter, you name it. I had a fucking bounty of shit. And then it got to the point where I was into that and I used to have Action Man because my mate Sam, his uncle Bill had given us a suitcase, an old school suitcase. You know, it smells like moth and piss and biscuits.
Yeah.
And it was like this old suitcase that had every Action Man in it. So mm-hmm. the old deep sea diver and the old school Eagle Eye one, which was cool. So I had...
What was that?
Eagle Eye.
Yeah. I had an Action Man that did
with
that.
Fuzzy hair. That was
the,
it.
The little thing on the back of it.
Yeah.
That was it.
That was the new one, but all the old ones had like
eyes.
Posable thumbs and hands, like rubber hands, and then it'd be like...
That's exactly what Mystery's eyes were like, body power.
Body power, all right.
But the thing is, the Ninja Action Man was smart enough to cover his mask so you couldn't see him biting his bottom lip.
Fully Ricky Gervais, like, just...
Yeah.
It was filth. Yeah. I want them ladies to see what they're going to get. So anyway... So I've basically got an abundance of these toys that I've been gifted, which are now worth a fucking mint. Mm. So, gets to me being about 14, and my auntie Sharon, who's a very wily veteran, comes over to my dad's house, and they, for whatever reason, started talking about Mr. Frosty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ice slushy making
thing.
Yeah. Motherfucker.
That was a good way of adding blue and red to kids' diets.
Yeah, I put it through a penguin.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Well, my auntie Sharon was like hustling my sister out for this game, for this Mr. Frosty. And my sister was, like, I don't know, 15 at the time. So she was just into Benson and Edges and stuff like that. And she was like, yo.
Who were they? Were they
Benny
Hedgehog.
Were
they kids on the...
They were bad influences,
were they
mate.
Kids in the neighborhood. Yeah. Benson and Hedges.
Benson and Edges. They were bad influence, but they weren't as bad as Lambert and Butler and a pair of wily cunts. So anyway, my auntie Sharon's hustling this deal. And I was like, oh man, I want some of that paper money. And she was like,
folding money.
I want some folding stuff, motherfucker. So she was like, yeah, well, go and get what you've got. So I over fucking compensated and bought down all my Star Wars, all my Action Man, all my G.I. Joe and wrestling figures, right? Oh, no. So like there's a whole collection of everything, like literally everything. And she was like, I've only got a tenner.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what? But it was paper money and it was like the old paper £10 notes were like this big. I was like, thank you, missus. So she took the fucking lot, took it all.
Ah.
And that was back to Sheffield, right? And I was like, after a few months, I was thinking,
that
10 didn't last very long. I can get another one of them and buy my shit back. Went around to see and she's like, oh no, I sold it all. And she literally sold each piece, bought a new house and car. And I've never forgiven her since. Motherfucker, she literally robbed a child.
She did.
I learned a fucking lesson that day. I got hardened to it.
She knew what she was doing.
I'll tell you about stealing later, but yeah she introduced me to a dark world.
No, I think my Star Wars figures got given away when I sold my He-Man figures. I know.
It's painful.
I know. It was like 50 quid folding money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's when your mom's...
I needed CDs at the time. Yeah. I was like...
She
like,
sells the dream.
There's a Megadeth back catalogue that I need, to go and get.
We're going car boot.
Yeah.
Whatever you sell, you get to keep.
Yeah.
Fucking bedroom.
Yeah.
What's your bed doing here?
Yeah.
Well,
chest of drawers? Where are you going to put your t-shirt? I'll just stack them up against the wall. It'll be
fuck
fine.
Fuck it. I need that 9 quid.
There we go.
Mate.
There we
go. Yeah. It was... I don't know. I seem to find myself buying a lot of shit back. Or hustling deals back. Mm. I was telling you earlier, when I had a moped when I was 16, the deal was you can have a go if you fill the top box with Lego, Scare Electric, or other toys.
It's one of my favourite things to do. I know it's
just
it
absolutely twists my brain because I'm like, what am I done? Because I just do that. Don't touch. Yeah, so yeah, it got me into hustling, but yeah, she probably fucked me over.
Yeah, that's not heartbreaking, good. Man. That's not good.
Yeah, not good.
So, what you been up to this week?
I have been recovering from Body Power still.
Still?
Yeah.
It was exhausting, wasn't it?
Mate, well, I've got our good friend Dino. He's tapped me up for a new document, brochure, to have a look at. So we're working together on that. So that's kept me up, because he's in China.
He is in China.
So it was 2:30 last night. Dog. With Oh, mate. Shout out to Stella Hammersinger.
I know, isn't it? Beautiful little dog.
Stells.
Stella. When I go out to the, there's a show at the, is it the end of August in China? I think there is. I'm going to try and get over to the PI and see him.
Oh, nice.
And get the little tour and check out his new
You just
want
to see the dog, don't you?
Yeah, man, of course.
Have a scruffle.
I'm going to go meet Stella.
Mate.
Won't be able to understand me, though. I mean, it's it speaks Chinese, doesn't it?
Yes. Ni hao ma.
There we go.
That's all I know. And that's from Russia. Oh, no, shishi ni. Shishi?
Yeah.
At the end with Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker.
Very good. Yeah.
My daddy, he catch a bullet with his bare hand. Coach. How you say coach? It's catch. Oh, my daddy catch a bullet with bare hand. Remember at the end? When on the plane.
I don't know how your brain stores.
No, me neither.
Stuff.
I was going to tell you as well about when you said about dogs having a scruffle. I got in tonight. Ben met me at the door, because he always does, because the kids are now chilling, doing what they want. Ben runs to the door. He's like, yo, you're home. So I immediately pick him up and he's kissing my face. And I'm like, you taste like... like cinder toffee, like caramel. And I was like, ooh. And so he's getting all up in there. And I'm like, oh, nice. What's that flavour? What have you been eating? And basically, I put him down, goes in to see Stace, sees her, gives a kiss. And I was like, Ben tastes like caramel. And she's like, I don't know what he's had. And he gets into like, we've got a tonny bag because we're in the building of sand. And he gets in that and works around. And I didn't know if I was like, ah. And I start working backwards thinking, oh, man, if a dog tastes like this... there's got to be a funny reason. So next minute, Stace goes, oh, let me tell you about Moo, which is obviously my eldest daughter. She's now allowed to go to the shops on her own. Went with a friend and she learned a valuable life lesson today. Because basically, she asked, can I have something from the shop? And Stace was like, yeah, there's a fiver. You've got a pound each. You can go and get an ice pole or a fucking whatever. And Moo was like, can I have a Magnum? And she went, no, you can't have a Magnum because it's too much. So you can have whatever. It's a pound. You've got a quid. Gets to the shop. Comes back with a crunchy ice cream, which is like a Magnum, but the crunchy version.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's £1.80 I'll never see again. Oh, so
couldn't resist it. I understand. Honeycomb.
Yeah, but where's the honeycomb going to end up?
Oh, it all stuck in my teeth.
No. She smashes it down, jawing her bollocking for eating, for spending too much.
Yeah.
Then gets herself all worked up and upset, throws it up in the garden, which Ben goes, hello.
Oh, no.
Leaving that, are you? I'll have a little tuck in. Sticks his whole little face in, eats the whole throw-up ice cream, crunchy magicness, and then spreads it all over my face. So when I'm getting kissed, I'm like, oh, hello, Ben. And he's like, oh, Dad, where have you been? I'm like, you missed the crunchy. So yeah, I've got dog sick kisses.
He's got a wrapped sticker on his fucking hat now.
Yes.
Brilliant. Nice. That's a gross story.
It's fucking grim, isn't it?
That is disgusting.
Yeah. And
yeah. I mean, I get it.
It's worse that I found out why.
That's not going to make his Instagram account, is it?
No. No. Have you seen his new pictures?
Sick. Mate. No, I haven't. Not today, I haven't. I've been too busy.
It's how they dislocate their jaw. When they do that thing and it's like, I'm going to be sick, but they're not. And they go,
yeah.
Like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're like, you're in bed.
Yeah.
And you hear it.
Oh, asleep and you hear it.
And you and you see their little stomach going like a bagpipe, you're like, and you instantly spring inside, quick, get him off the bed. And you're like, you're thinking, floor, what floor? Not that carpet. And you run into the bathroom and it's going, and then it's like the alien fucking dislocating thing.
Like a bagpipe?
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like a, and then they do that, and then they sort of look at you like,
I wish they made a bagpipe sound when they were doing that.
You're waking the ass up, dickhead. Get outside. Oh, man. We are ridiculous. Our old dad had one of them hide tubes. Can you remember the bones that are like a piece of hide wrapped up? And he was that greedy. He ate the knuckle off it. And he just came up to me and started nudging me because he couldn't breathe. He was going, and I was like, you know, you cocky twat. I started off hard. And I was like, no, you fucking chewed it. You started eating it, mate. You can deal with it yourself. When he started, he was a black dog, but he started turning purple. And I was like, oh, fuck. And I had to squeeze his stomach to try and get it out. And I could see it in his mouth, but I couldn't. You know, they always say, don't reach in and grab stuff because you'll kill someone. Well, I've learned the hard way. I nearly killed my dog.
I can already tell which bits of that you're going to cut out for that little mix-up fucking video you're going to do.
Is it the...
so many good bits. When it turned purple was one of them. There was a fucking load.
Sorry, man.
No, well, that, yeah, hilarious. I can't remember them now, but when we listen back...
Mate.
Oh, man. That's literally it. You just...
Yeah, 10 seconds. 10 seconds about the fucking crunchy sick. I've stopped having sugar in my tea as well.
Because of that?
Yeah. Yeah. Specifically, flashbacks. Thing is, I used to work with Honeycomb, so it was like, it just took me back to being 16 in the factory. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. Yeah, it's been through his body. And my daughters.
Not really.
And my daughters.
Not really been through it, though, has
no,
it?
No, they just incubated it for 20 minutes.
Oh.
Dirty bastards.
Oh. Anyway.
Yeah, not good.
Fighting? Should we talk about some fighting? How long is that? 15 minutes? You know, like Joe Rogan has like 10 minutes of nonsense at the start of his thing.
I've got to be honest, skip
the
adverts. I
reckon people skip that to like 10 minutes of our podcast.
Did you
get past the sick stories?
Have you seen it on the comments?
The shit jokes.
Someone put in the comments last week, like, such and such, 47 minutes. Like, almost aggressively, like, fuck that bit. Yeah. There's obviously no effort or work gone into that. They're just talking mad bullshit. Fuck off to 47 minutes. They talk about my fucking Twitter pic or some shit. Yeah, it makes me laugh. But I did feel, last week, I drove home and I think we all melted a little bit. What started dude, out as a bad definitely. Idea ended up... We were all fucked. Like, absolutely on our arse. I mean, you know when I see Mystery wading through grass with a stool and I'm like, yeah, it's a good idea. This is what we should be doing today. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
definitely a good idea.
And then I started...
Sun's going, lovely.
I was like... This is hot. And we hadn't recorded for like 20 minutes. And then you looked at me and was like, this is a bad idea. And I was like, watch this. Is not going to work. And then when I got home and I was like, I said to you, did we mean to talk about fights this week? There are no fights this week. And I was like, cool. And next minute I see like Kevin Lee and Ally Quint, not Kevin Lee and Ally, Kevin Lee and Rafael Dos Anjos like giving it a bit of mad talk. And I was like, that looks like this week.
Yeah.
We've done them a disservice. Mm. Oh, man.
It's not the first time we've done it, though.
No, to be fair. There's a lot of times that we have missed a lot
I never miss the fights. I always watch them live.
Yeah.
Well, but sometimes I forget they're coming.
Yeah, I watch them the day after.
The thing is, I work on... It's partly my fault because I'm jumping around working on different shows.
Yeah.
Like, if there was a show this weekend, which fortunately there isn't, we've checked.
Definitely.
There's no show this weekend. Are you having a listen, Slim, just to make sure that Owen's talking into his mic? Is it? Oh, hang on.
Is that better?
Maybe.
Breaker 1-9.
So there's definitely no card this weekend because the next event is Gustafsson Smith, which is next weekend. Otherwise, I've already missed my flight to Stockholm. No, we're all right. It's May 22nd.
Imagine that will go full Home Alone, won't it?
Oh, man.
Just like into that quick, like, and then the bag coming down the stairs. Just your dad gets in the shot in a camel skin coat. Which way is he going? Poor old Kevin.
So there are no fights this weekend. But if there were, I wouldn't have looked at it because I've already been thinking about the Gustafsson Smith one and the Cejudo Moraes. So it's kind of working for the UFC kind of twists my brain around when it comes to the schedule.
And because I know what you're doing, I'm almost waiting for that because you're doing them sort of cards. Mm. But I think sometimes it's like when we do open mat and afterwards or if, like, once you've like talked about the fight results 3 or 4 times, it's almost one of them where I feel like you're not going to want to answer that question again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
let's talk about shoplifting.
Our conversations are unique though.
Yeah, for real. I mean, the thing is, I felt before it was starting, I thought that Kevin Lee was going to win.
Yeah,
I was hoping Kevin Lee was going to win, and I've got nothing against RDA apart from his newfound stash that he was rocking. Yeah. He was rocking the full Pringle guy, wasn't he? A bit of a Selick. Yeah, he looked good, man.
I could probably get some of that going.
I've got a twist on it if I need to. I've got some Mo Wax at home, but...
I got one side longer than the other.
there.
I need to level it out. See, that side's got a good, like, Wild West moustache side. Yeah, you have. You've definitely got.
I actually twisted it out for my brother's wedding.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's classy.
It's very high maintenance. Don't think for a minute you can relax because you're constantly like, I coming all the way up here. Yeah.
Dude, there was a guy on the boat on the way to Brazil. And I mean, I went on the boat looking marginally tidier than
you had the top knot at the time, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And I got off the boat with just like this awkward like mess of face scruff.
My dad never told me how to shave. Yeah.
I just ignored it for a month.
Yeah.
It just all kind of grew wild. Whereas he was clean shaven every day and his moustache was perfect.
Did he have a full Dustin Hoffman off
dude,
of hook?
It was like, it was, yes,
do you know
exactly.
What I mean? You know, it's ticking.
Yeah. Oh, what a great movie that was. That was a great movie.
Jack. Fucking love Dustin Hoffman. He's the man.
I watched that at the cinema.
We did.
I think for my birthday.
Yeah, it was.
It must have been like 120 years ago.
92, I think 93. Yeah. So when you were starting senior school, that would have been.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I should have been less excited about it then at that point in my life.
I don't know, man. No. 11 for Hook?
Well, I mean, I still get Lego for my birthday now.
Robin Williams is the man. We can watch Hook at home, but we're not allowed to watch the first 5 minutes because my kids lose their shit because Hook comes in and straight kidnaps them. Like, leaves a message on a dagger in the wall.
Yeah,
and like,
he does, doesn't it?
In a bit, fuckos. And you're like, yo. And every time I've watched it, I'm like, that's cool, right? That's normal. And then Moo's like, I'm like, what's wrong? Night terrors. Like, all right, darling. I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's kind of like Goonies, though. I mean, one of my favorite movies ever.
But you know the dead body in the fridge with a bullet hole in his head?
Yeah. He's brilliant, isn't
he? Yeah. And it's like, what are you going to do to them kids if you catch him? We'll murder them. Mm. Oh, cool. Let's watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scary shit. Very scary.
I love it. I'm due to watch Goonies again. It's been a while.
Yeah, the thing is, because we can take our kids through the back catalogue quite a lot. So it's like we bought them Gremlins, Crocodile Dundee.
That's a good reason to have kids.
Just a perfect reason. The best. Like, you get Nerf, Scare Electric.
You're selling it to me.
Lego. And then, like, I bought myself a basketball hoop. Did I ever tell you? Basically, you know the ones you get at Costco? The big fuck off Reebok ones.
I've seen it.
You've been round. Obviously, you've seen it now. But at the time, I accidentally, on purpose, won it on like eBay, I think it was. Which I was quite proud of. Because the guy that sold it me...
Accidentally on purpose.
Yeah, I used to do that a lot. And then I have to hustle to get the money.
I put a joke bid on a snooker table and now we've got to find room for it.
It's a slate bed. Well, we basically, I was, I put a bid in. The kids at the time were like 3. So there's no, and it goes all the way up to full height. And I messaged this guy because he lived up the road and I was like, dude, would you take 100 quid for it? It was on eBay and he was like, nah, these are like 500 at Costco, fam. And I was like, all right, fucking chill out. We'll see how the bid goes. And I won it for 78. And you know, I turn up with pound coins and I'm like, there you go, dickhead. Nice. Count them fuckers. So I got it home and it's been there ever since. And yesterday was the first time that Moo took me to school. She beat me to 5 and then she beat me to 10.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm my name is Mud in the house at the minute.
Oh dear.
I'm not allowed to talk.
Is that why you're hanging out here?
Yeah, I'm chilling up here instead because at least I get to talk to you guys. She's like...
Shut up, haven't got a basketball hoop here.
Yeah, nah. We've my dad, you mean bags, Owen?
We've got punch bags though.
Yeah,
we've got the speed ball up that's in between the two cameras, so no one apart from us can see it.
Has that got Mystery's knuckle prints all over it?
He literally said the other day, like after we'd recorded the podcast last time, he's like, "I'm just gonna have 10 minutes on the speed ball and then I'll bounce." And I'm like. Like, I cleaned my house, I packed my bag, like, I did some laundry.
Grew a beard.
Yeah. And I'm like 3 hours has passed. Did I miss him? Did he leave? And I'm like, what's that noise? Dun, dun, dun. No more than 3 strikes at a time.
Yeah.
Dun, dun. It was always dun, dun, dun. Oh,
I've got
dun,
this
dun,
shit.
Dun, oh. Like, just still standing there, just boom, boom, boom. He's getting good at it, though.
It's one of them things that you think, I could do that. Yeah. They're the worst because you've got yours always set up and I'm that type of person that when I walk past things like that, I have a little pop.
Always.
But there's a time like on a Friday night when I can be a little spuckled and I'll be walking past it at 3 a.m. and be like, ping, and it'll just go, and just ping, just slap me in the face and I'll be like, what the fuck did that? Who is that?
Yeah.
Have you
no one saw that, right?
Have you ever scared yourself like that? Like, you know, when you start convincing yourself, either when you're drunk or a bit mashed, like, when you're in, like, down the bottom of my garden's really dark. And I walk down there with super confidence because it's my garden and the dog's with me who's this big. And, like, the kids are wherever in bed or whatever. I'm like, it's my fucking garden. And I think, but what if someone did come in? And what if they did have a bat? and what if this happened? I'm like, and then I start like just overanalyzing stupid shit. If I sit at the back door watching the stars and not smoking, I can sit there and I think, what if someone just jumped over the fence now with a knife and was like, get in your fucking ass. I'm like, ugh. And I just start convincing myself about stupid shit. Mm. And then like, I find myself shut at the door like, oh my God.
We're safe.
Everything's good. Like, I won't. Have you ever been that scared that you won't put your face up to the glass? You can see the reflection of you looking nervous as shit. But you know, the minute it goes from like, there you go, and it goes,
yeah.
Like, there's someone in the garden. It's fucking horrible. It's horrible.
You see, yes and no. I understand where you're going, but I go a different route.
Aggro. You've got the ability to fight.
A little bit. Yeah. Unnecessarily.
Yeah.
Like, and I realised I used to do this when I was walking to school, because sometimes I'd bump into kids from other schools and they always wanted to fight because I had long hair or I had my nails painted black or something. You know what I mean?
There was a reason.
There was a reason. Yeah, I was that kid.
Yeah.
So I was always ready. So I'd always have this like idea in my head of what if someone comes around that corner now? And I've got my chain, I got my skateboard, I was good to go.
You know what this is like? This is like Sherlock Holmes with Robert Downey Jr. Swift kick to the liver.
It was a little bit.
Poke him in the eye, kick him in the nuts. That's
it was a little bit like that. So I would always kind of like pose situations in my own head as I was walking along. But like, and I've not drank for a long time, as you know, but once when I was like walking home and getting off the bus and I was like walking back to my parents' house and I'd had a couple of drinks, I'd go past that point where I'd start visualizing and then I'd start
trying to find someone.
Yeah, then I'm like shit talking. I'm like, fucking, I dare you. I fucking dare you. You know what I mean?
Double dare you, motherfucker.
Yeah. So that was a good reason to stop drinking, because I was like, I was ready. You know what I mean? I was.
Mate, yeah.
I can keep that inside when I'm not drinking.
I do think about the analyst thing where I'm like, oh man, so if that starts, I can just. Because I've got kids and a wife. So it's almost like, you know, some big dude comes up. I'm just like, sorry. So you almost get overprotective. But then you think, right, I'll do this. And it's like, you just know, they just go, no. Like, okay. So you want my wallet? Yes, it's in my pocket. I'll get it for you. That's fine. But it's like, I can remember Stephen Merchant talking about leaving. Like, he has a fake wallet. He had a bum bag under his trousers, but he had a fake wallet. But then, because he got suspicious that if someone tried to mug him and took his fake wallet and thought it was fake, he had a double fake wallet. So he was like, all right, take my wallet. This looks fake. Oh, well, I'll take my real one then. And his real one's actually in his pants. Yeah, I thought it was a good idea.
That's too paranoid, Dad, isn't it?
Yeah. I think the thing for me, the scared thing come from, I used to babysit my little brothers at my dad's house. So Danny and Richard, my dad's, they're 8 and 10 years younger than me. So if I was, say, 14, they were just kids, just little kids. So we put them to bed and chill out. I'll never forget. They've got their garden backs onto like a, just this path, this like dirt path that you can tell ghost stories about for days, but it's pitch black. Mm-hmm. And that we had a new dog at my dad's called Lady, who was a little collie. And basically they had a sun lounge that, as you imagine, onto the darkness, it's full glass. So it's like some torture fucking room. And the security light kept coming on. And she was losing her shit. And I was like, oh my God. And my ass was doing 50p, 20p. And I was like, oh God, oh God. And like, the kids are in bed. I'm like, oh, what do? I'm babysitting, I'm responsible. So I went and found like a meat tenderizing hammer in the drawer. And I was like, right, I'm going to try and stop someone. So I went to the door and I braved it. And I walked out. And luckily, after about 5 minutes, the light came on again. And there was this tiny mouse that ran from one plant pot to the other, and the dog chased. It was like barking. I was like, it's just a mouse. I mean, I waited to turn around and see Freddy there. I'm like, ah! But it wasn't. That didn't happen.
I've got images of you like with your face painted.
Fully what? Yeah.
Like shirt off, face painted. Coming out the bath. You see this mouse and you just go charging off into the darkness with this hammer after this little mouse screaming.
And the mouse chokes me out. Yeah. Fuck off. There was that one. And the last one was when they were babies, we had a baby monitor and there was me and my four cousins in the house. And my dad's house has got a loft conversion. So like all the way up in the loft is really scary when you're a kid. And we were sat in the living room and I was one of the older kids that were looking after the little ones. And we kept hearing this really creepy baby cry.
Oh.
And Child's Play hadn't been out long. Like, hi, I'm Chucky, want to play? And my sister woke me up by grabbing my foot at the bottom of my bed and going, hi, I'm Chucky, want to play? And I was like, oh. So fucking horrible shit with your siblings.
Yeah.
So all we can hear is this baby crying. Like, really fucking creepy. And so we went up, checked on the kids, nothing. checked throughout the house, nothing. This thing's still fucking crying. And I'm like, yo. Then it went off. Then it came back. And I'm like, are we going to, is someone fucking with me for real here? Because there's no internet. We've got teletext. That gave us nothing. We've got no phones. We've got fuck all. And this baby's still fucking crying. And no kids are upstairs crying. And I just fucking went up to the machine, like dead shakily, picked it up like out of some fucking Hammer horror. And it said it was on demo. I was like, dickheads. I fucking knew. Fucking idiots. Don't go in the sun lounge, it's scary as shit. But yeah, I think I get into my own head quite a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I tell you, there was one, my sister used to sleepwalk like a lot. And it used to scare the fucking hell out of me. But I remember what, so I'm what, four or five years older than her. So what, I'm what, 11, 12? And she's, you know.
Six.
Yeah, not very old. And she used to, proper little girl with a fringe and long hair. And then she used to wear these like nightgowns, like long nightgowns, like horror movie nightgowns. And I'd watched The Shining like fairly recently. And the scariest thing in all horror movies always is kids.
Yeah.
Like Children of the Corn's kind of ridiculous. And especially they're just the silent. Just cold, just nothing in their eyes, right? And when someone's sleepwalking, they've got their eyes open. But they're like, I shared a room with a guy, a really, really nice Irish kid called Philip. I shared a room with him when I was in China for part of my stay. And he used to sleep with his eyes open. And it used to scare the shit out of me. Because I'd roll over and he'd just be laying there like a corpse.
Hey, bit of air. Just breathing out.
You know what was funny? And I don't know where he is. I can't imagine he listens. And if he is, I mean, no disrespect.
Easy, Phil.
He used to wear earplugs because he was concerned about bugs crawling in his ears, but would sleep with his eyes open.
How do you do? Night then.
Yeah.
Close your eyes, motherfucker.
Yeah, really weird. But people who are sleepwalking, usually have their eyes open.
Yeah.
You know. So the way that my bedroom used to be set up when I lived at home, I had a single bed along the wall, and then like almost in line with my head was the door into the landing, and we always had the light on the landing. You know, this one particular night I was laying there and I couldn't sleep very well, and all of a sudden the door just slowly starts to creak open, and silhouetted against the back light was with my sister just standing there in this nightgown, terrifying, all kinds of horror movie scary shit. My whole body went rigid and went freezing cold. Like, this is Mommy. Terrifying. And I said, are you all right? She said, yeah, I just finished school. And then in that moment, my mum walked out and she was like, come on, come back to bed, and just walked her back in. But then, like, I didn't sleep that night. Like, my adrenaline's
sat there with a knife ready in the snow.
Go, yeah. Ready. Yeah, with a tenderizing hammer.
Yeah. Mate, but the thing is, now when you have kids, I remember having memories like that where, because I sleepwalked a lot, and my mum took me back to bed, and it would have been, say, 9 o'clock, and my mum's still up watching telly, like watching Casualty or The Bill or whatever, and like I would have thought that was the deepest, darkest part of the night, and now, like, my kids sleepwalk, and it's bonkers. They sleepwalk, sleep talk, they're obviously overactive.
My sister used to put breakfast stuff out. She used to go downstairs and start getting breakfast stuff
out. That's the best. It's like with stepbrothers, isn't it?
Oh, I love it.
Check the fridge, check the oven. Is the cushions in the oven? Yeah. But I once, my sister woke me up because I, at my mum's house, basically the landing, her bedroom was here and my bedroom was on the other side, but my door was down a corridor. So I just wandered into her bedroom and I just went and remember her waking me up and going, fucking crackers. And I'm like, what's wrong? And she's like, that's my bin. And I was like, what do you mean it's your bin? Fuck off, I'm having a piss. And I was trying to take a piss in a wicker basket.
Oh, brilliant.
And I was, it's full flow. And brilliant. She was just like, mommy, mommy.
Into a wicker basket.
I was just pissing the wicker basket.
Was when, like, was that ever a good idea for a bin?
But but wicker fuming basket. The whole time. I was like, fucking leave me alone, stupid. I'm just taking a piss. Yeah, I got in trouble. Trouble sleepwalking, sleep talking.
I have a story like that, but I'm not going to share it because I love and respect my sister too much. But I'll tell you off camera sometime. I think I might have told you. It's a good one.
It was...
She contributed to my Millennium Falcon. Otherwise, I would have probably shared the
about
story.
To say, yeah. I've got to talk to Gem and Elaine and Mark because I might need one of them.
Yeah.
I need adopting.
Well, when my mum told me they'd been released, I dare ask how much it was. And then I was like, well, maybe one year we can all chip in.
Let's pool it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, you know. But that's going to take me a few days to build. That's a lock-in kind of situation.
Yeah. Well, you've got a DVD. You can lock in, put your DVD on.
There we go.
chuck the bags out.
Yeah.
Shout out to Chris Bliss. Did I tell you about when he got his Ghostbusters car for Christmas? You know, the little set. Yeah, it's not massive, but it's decent. Yeah. The Ecto one.
I have it.
He got it. Got bag from bag one to seven. Opened them all and just chucked it in the middle. And was like, "Let's go, bitches." Open bag one. He was like, "Ah,
oh,
fuck."
Oh no. Yeah. You know the thing is, some of the more complicated sets. Like I think they're like the
Technic
like
doesn't
the big
have numbers.
Admiral ship.
They don't have numbered bags.
No numbered bags.
No.
And that literally took me 10 hours.
What's your preference for chewing while you're building? And I don't mean chewing to damage, but is it like a one a stud? Is it like a little stick? I've often got a piece of Lego in my mouth.
No, 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 yeah, I can't chew the Lego.
Just a stud. Because you've always got studs left over. There's always extras.
No, I don't put Lego in my mouth.
Yeah, just one. Just I've nearly choked on it a million times. You know when you go...
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah. There's a good reason why they put holes through Lego.
Yeah, don't put this in your mouth, exactly. Captain Dickhead. What do you reckon to the fights this weekend?
I know, should we talk about some
fights? Let's do that. Let me have a look at the fight card.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, fuck it.
We had some good knockouts, didn't we? Some mad knockouts.
Man.
First one of the night, Julio Arce. That was a good one. He got backed up against Julian Arosa, who was looking good, but he's one of those kind of fighters that fights with his chin further forward than his lead foot. And he just got just bingoed with a head kick. It was a beautiful knockout.
Yeah. But what about our mate Danny Roberts?
Ooh. I mean, I feel for him because that guy, what was his name? Michael Pereira.
Pereira.
Michel Pereira. First of all, how old did they say he was? 24? Check that man's passport. Come on.
Mate, that's how we used to do five-a-side at school and then some fucker had a goalie that was like had a beard and you're like,
right.
Under 15?
I just turned 37. He's at least as old as me.
His hairline is about 10 years older than us.
But he looks like he's had like a long career, like he's a veteran.
Mate, he looked like a wind-up car. You know, like when you pull it back till it clicks and then they sort of went, are you ready? Are you ready? I've got this one in me. Clink. That was horrible.
Yeah.
And I felt bad. I felt bad. The thing is, for Danny.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, with a fight with an opponent like that, it's like Thiago Santos, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, those kind of fighters, they can overwhelm guys that are perhaps technically better because it's just chaos.
Yeah.
I'm not criticizing.
No, but it's that Ultimate Warrior, batshit crazy. Yeah. Houston Alexander was like it. Houston Alexander iced a couple of people, but then
who was it? Was it Keith Jardine?
Keith Jardine choke punched. Yeah. Just hold his neck and was like, dink.
Yeah.
But then. Was it James Irvin that Superman punched him in like, I think it was 11 seconds.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's statistically correct, but it's going to be pretty fucking close. But I think the Sandman then sort of just showed everyone like, yo, Houston Alexander, who looks like a growth hormone, isn't that scary anymore.
A growth hormone.
With just one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looked like a muscly thumb. He fucking was.
He looked like
he had about 47 kids, didn't he?
Yeah. He did.
I wanted him to stay around a bit more just to get a few more bits for his kids.
He was fun to watch though. I mean, his hands were ridiculously heavy.
Yeah.
What, talking of heavy hands, Ed Herman against Patrick Cummins.
I haven't watched a couple of the prelims just because you were, you were on the...
Have you watched Game of Thrones though?
I did.
See, I haven't watched Game of Thrones yet.
Yeah.
So I guess we're kind of equal.
I don't think I could react to that in any way positively or negatively. But I did see a meme that someone put out with Ron Swanson of Parks and Rec. And it's like, it was a meme about something about your dragon show. I'm sorry about your dragon show that it's finished. It's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
So,
just on a Game of Thrones tangent, I'm kind of glad that I've not watched it for a couple of days because I've been able to digest all of the feedback that everybody else has decided to give me.
So you know no one's hit you with, have you watched it yet?
No. I've had a couple of people go, have you watched it yet? I look forward to talking to you afterwards, which I'm fine with because then I'm like,
I'm jonesing for that. Okay. Yeah.
But then like the people that are complaining, let's be realistic. A show like that with such a big following, the possibility of delivering something that everyone's going to be like, you know what, I got exactly what I needed out of that final episode.
I think that's the problem is, me and Slim were just talking about it, and we'll talk about it more next week when more people have watched it and you've caught up, but it's like, someone said to him, how do you want it to end? Because like when you've got Sopranos, which was a bit like artistic-y and a bit like, oh, there you go, and Breaking Bad was fucking amazing, I like something to finish, but the problem is there's already whispers of like, oh, there's going to be an origin story of the White Walkers. It's like, well, don't bother because they got iced in 20 seconds. So fuck it. Like they were threatening for a long time and then they just fucking bounced. That's wank. Because it's like, I know I'll get on it with superheroes because people will be like, it's not real. But the problem is they put so much effort and attention to detail and to certain things. It's like, I know it's not real and I get that and I enjoy it, but like, apply logic to your fake story. Because you know when the dragon, when the dragon first got fucking blue eyes and was like, yo, I'm a motherfucker, I'm going to kill everyone. Like, they sent someone back from that little battle scene and was like, oh shit, go and tell everyone. So he ran back to the wall and was back in about 20 seconds, like, this dragon, everyone get out really quick. Now the dragon could have flapped his wings twice and would have been at the wall, flapped them twice more and then been somewhere else. So I know it's not real.
Maybe he didn't know the way.
Yeah, but maybe it was like they had to do something right? with the dragon.
Maybe the dragon didn't know the way.
Yeah, where the fuck is it? Where did he go? Yeah. Just running it like them. Maybe little.
There's no way to click your phone. You can't use Waze on a dragon.
Yeah.
There's no dragon to iPhone mount.
They're like, can you remember?
You know what I mean,
can you remember Golden Axe?
There is on Rygor the dragon.
Yeah, Rygor's got Waze.
Rygor the dragon's got.
Can you remember on what did I just say it was called? Golden Axe on the Mega Drive.
Oh, when you were a beast, I love that game.
And there was a little creature came out with a bag on its back, and you used to kick it to get the potion out.
Yeah,
the dragon's flying around like that. I fucking
loved that game.
It was good.
And I never had a Mega Drive. My parents went the sensible route and bought me an Amstrad because I could also type up my homework on it. Do you know how many times I typed up my fucking homework on that computer?
I don't think any.
Never.
No. Not ever. You played Double Dragon like a motherfucker.
You know what I did instead? I had to wait on a Saturday morning 20 minutes for the game to load by cassette.
Oh. Yeah, and we had a Spectrum. Oh. We had a Spectrum 48K, which is now worth about £1,000. And at the time, it was worth
right
like
six. You've
got the
right shirt to be playing on a game like that.
Fucking, yeah.
You're all set.
If I had this shirt and I had the intention, I could open a video game arcade of Spectrum and Commodore games.
Although I have another old camera.
Oh, man, that's
so
very nice.
I can't really talk too much. It's these guys' fault. They've been carrying around proper cameras.
This is it.
And I'm like,
you wait till we find a full tilt ninja and Dan just comes out with a ninja sword and we're like,
the thing is,
what are we doing? I took on their personality.
You know I already have one. Listen to this though. No, hang on a minute. I've got to get you in focus.
Do you need me to stay like I am?
I've got to get you in focus. Don't that sound nice?
That was nice. Yeah, old school.
Yeah, that was sexy, wasn't it? Should we have one more?
Slim's ears. Fully.
Should we have one more? It's because it's got a metal body, I believe. But it's, hang on. Oh, that'd be too dark, but I'll take a photo anyway.
Click.
Oh,
nice. Beautiful, man. That's the one. Anyway, I didn't watch that. You haven't watched Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, I haven't.
Yeah, so there is stuff to talk about on it, but it was one of them where it's kind of hard to please everyone.
Of course it is.
As we always know. And fuck them kind of thing. But it does make me smile when like you see people signing petitions going, no, do it again. It's like, yo, dude, you've got to be fucking, you've got some pots to
suck
wash or
dick.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah, suck a dick one time. Don't go into like... Yeah.
Watch something else.
But could you imagine if someone was like, no, we're going to do it, and they redid it again. It's like, do you want to watch the last season again? It's like, no, mate.
No.
No, I'm kind of good.
No,
yeah.
No. Unless, no, I haven't watched the last episode yet, but there is a possibility they could do Scooby-Doo ending like they do in Wayne's World 2.
Imagine.
Or the cast turn to camera and go, awesome. And it goes right back to the start of the season and we start all over again.
Did you ever watch the Breaking Bad ending? Where basically, Breaking Bad, obviously the fucking Heisenberg is iced and he lies down in that like fucking in
Didn't
that chemist room. So then he wakes up as Hal in Malcolm in the Middle and he's lying next to Lois and he's like, oh. And they basically cut like the whole of Breaking Bad's a dream. And it was just Hal from Malcolm in the Middle. And it's like, yo, that's nice. Fucking sick.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Anyway, I started watching the fights at, I think it was Charles Oliveira, Nick Lentz. Again.
Charles Oliveira.
Again.
So you didn't watch the Aspen lad, Sejuro Eubanks fight then?
No, but I heard the fight disciple was talking about it and saying that she's Aspen terrifying. Lad was fucking amazing, but then didn't put herself out there.
I just think she's terrifying. I think she's young, she's talented, she takes instruction very well. You could tell that in her corner. But the thing that scares me about her is like those kind of banshee cries when she's ground and pounded.
Yeah. That's the shit that you see at the patio, isn't it?
It's like, there's a game I used to play on the Xbox 360 that Left 4 Dead.
Yes.
You remember it?
And yeah,
you
don't
remember,
play that
every
dark.
Now and then you'd hear like that faint crying.
Yeah.
Like you've got a two-way radio on demo.
Horrible. Yeah.
like that kind of distant wailing. You're like, oh shit, there's a witch nearby.
That was Left 4 Dead where one of the buttons was to turn a torch on.
That was it.
Always on.
Always off. You don't want to see you coming.
No.
Unless you play with your wife and she's bloodthirsty and she will only work with an axe or an electric guitar.
Fuck them up.
That's all she wants to use.
Amazing.
I'm like, hang back. Use the sniper rifle. Yeah. We could clear half of them before they even know where we are.
Simple logic.
Turn your flashlight off. Yeah. I've told you.
Just winging a fucking axe.
Press B to turn your flashlight off. I've told you this.
Red Skittle.
No, you're swinging the guitar again.
Red Skittle.
Yeah. Terrible. Terrible. Good game though, but you know when you disturb the witch and she goes,
yeah, that's like her.
That is like Aspen Ladd.
I want to see more blokes do it though. I do quite like it. You know when you get the like a Thai boxing cries,
like a war cry. Yeah,
yeah,
like
yeah.
a good war cry.
It's good, man.
So what did you think to Charles Oliveira then?
I was massive on Charles Oliveira when he came in because he was just icing dudes, and when he got nullified by Jim Miller in like 2005 or whenever it was, I was like, ooh, okay. And since then, he's always shown up, but he's like now on a 7-fight win streak. Mm. Looked insane doing it with his white Ray-Ban Wayfarers. He goes full geek.
Oh yeah,
when he's turned off. But Nick Lentz, I thought there could have been a time when he could have caught him at any point because Nick Lentz is just a savage, isn't he? Let's be honest. But that punch that put him down. Fucking hell. That was, you know, all the animations that our mate does.
Oh, yeah.
Din, 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 din. Uh-huh. It was literally, I expected George St. Pierre to come back. I'm coming back.
Yeah,
he got absolutely switched off.
And that was that not his first technical knockout TKO finish in the UFC?
In however many years. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Oh, look at that. He fought on. We fought on a couple of shows together. I didn't realise. Yeah, I mean, he's kind of finding his groove right now, isn't he? I mean, what's he on a 5-fight win streak?
It's more than that, isn't it? Oh, is it five?
No, five, yeah, seven.
Yeah. Well, he's, yeah. But he's coming up for it, man.
Good guys as well.
Yeah, well, Jim Miller, he literally, it's like he was showing his uncle how to do jiu-jitsu. And he's like, I lift you up like this, I throw you on the floor, and I choke you. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
But
then you look at those at the last few fights. Like, I mean, aside from the Nick Lentz fight, second round TKO, you got David Taymor, Jim Miller and Christos Yagos, but each one of those was a performance of the night and extended the UFC record for most submission wins.
But how cool was it that Paul Felder came into the cage and he's like, all right, mate? And he was like, oh, you're the last one to beat me, weren't you? You got Mo Sizlak stood there like...
There was a good opportunity to call him out then.
Yeah, for real. When he said, who do you want next? I expected Paul just to take his jacket off and go... You know, fucking go full Gangs of New York style.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
New York. I'm Amsterdam, and just fucking start hitting him with his cosh.
Yeah,
yeah. It was. I thought it was cool because his name's De Bronx as well, isn't it? It was in New York.
Is. Where's he in the rankings now? I mean, he's
fuck knows.
Eight. Is that are they up to date? Number eight. So he's got Paul Felder ranked right above him.
I think if he had a bit more of a character. He would be knocking on a door for one more win maybe to get out there if he was a bit more noisy. Like,
who would you have him fight though? The thing is, you look down his record and he's got some recognizable names on it, but wins over recognizable names like I say recognizable, I mean like high ranking names.
Well, the thing is, when he's got five on the bounce like that, I'd almost go, do you want Paul Felder or Ricardo Lamas or Pettis? What are you
Barbosa.
Saying? Let's bring him back. Yeah, man. Let's
Barbosa would be good. Ai Quinta would be good.
Just anyone who's beat him before and just come and have another go. Because
we've got Ai Quinta's coming off a loss. I mean, he'll need a bit of time to heal up. Who we got coming off? I mean, Felder's coming off a win, but he's not going to want to take a back step and fight someone behind him.
No. Don't you be...
Is that a ghost? Is that the chapel ghost?
For fuck's sake. Look how dark it is out there. No. Put your face against that window.
I can't. I wouldn't dare.
Nope.
Look how dark it is. Barbosa would be a fun fight. They've not faced each other, have they?
No, I don't think so.
Oliveira against Barbosa?
No, I don't think so.
That would be a good fight. That would be a good one to watch. I mean, Barbosa's coming off a loss to Justin Gaethje, but, you know.
Man, he's had
he's still relevant.
Fucking
he's still
fights.
Near the top,
yeah, big
isn't
time.
And,
yeah,
you know, you're coming off a loss. You've kind of got to open yourself up to take on a rising contender.
The problem is that Gaethje didn't just beat him. He took his soul and fostered his children.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but is Charles Oliveira that scary in comparison to Justin Gaethje?
Well, after we've seen him come off that punch on Nick Lentz was nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would say Charles Oliveira's not got the wrestling game that Khabib's got. So it's not like he's going to be able to take Barbosa down.
It'd be more of an interesting,
it's more competitive shout. In the grappling range, because I feel like Barbosa's got more of a chance of stopping the takedowns.
Yeah, I'd watch that. I mean, I like him anyway. I'd watch him every time.
What else did you enjoy?
Derek Krantz's story was fucking brilliant.
Dude, he started so well as well, didn't he?
He just came so out well. Just windmilling. It's like, yeah. Yo. And there was a lot of form to it. Yeah. I'm not just saying he was handbagged at fucking door.
He was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Easy. Yeah, hang on. But caught a couple of punches. Then he sort of went up to him and afterwards was like, motherfucker, you had me scared right there, but I held my own. Do you know what I mean? He was close to being like iced real quick. But I just liked his story because basically I like the Dana White looking for a fight.
Yeah.
Because I like Dana White and I like Matt Serra's relationship with Din Thomas.
I mean, they're both mad.
They're both mad. You know they've fought. And the decision got changed in the fucking dressing room as well. So it's not even like it's a, remember that time I fucked you up? It's like, remember that time you paid Dana to fucking change the decision? So it's cool. But when I watched it, and it was that standard thing, they're watching a fight, he came out and looked incredible. And then I think it was Matt Serra that said, like, oh, what are we going to do with him then, boss? Because I think Matt Serra gets a wicked vibe off it because he gets to go and deliver the news and he's a real people person. And he was talking to him and he's like, nothing. He's 31, he's 24 and 10 or something. The fuck this. Nah, leave him. And then before you know it, he's in the changing room like, yo, I'm going to bring you in, dude. And then he came out and he looked fucking insane. He looked like he was going to do it. And yeah, my heart broke for him a little bit because
it was a big ask, though. I mean, Luque is a dangerous fighter, and he was on their win streak as well, isn't he?
I'd love to see him back. I'd love to see him back again.
Was it a short notice fight?
Yeah. Because wasn't it Magni? Did Magni pop?
Oh, that was it. That was it. Body pop.
Yeah, body popping. Took his cardboard, chucked it on the floor, and Jeff Nowitzki was like, can't do that.
A piss hot all over it. Yeah. What was it? Do we know what it was? Was it a tainted supplement? Was it Tainted Love?
Yeah.
Tainted Love. Bom, bom.
That's another one, isn't it? That's the Marilyn Manson version, right?
We were doing that is.
Yeah.
No, I was singing the original.
Oh, no, I was doing the Marilyn Manson. You know where he's dancing around a bed and it's just full of bunnies? Dan. Like models with bunny heads on. I'm like, oi, I can get into this, dude. Yeah. Yeah. Next level.
Yeah, of course you like it. With his Satan patches on.
Oh, me and Marilyn, we're bros. Me and Amaza. I don't know why you went cockney, but
what about Felicia Spencer rolling through Megan Anderson?
It's when the whole time I was thinking, like, Megan, you could probably get up, you could probably stand up, you could probably use them limbs a bit more, because like she kept unhooking her legs. So I was thinking, right, now post. Now at least walk up the fence. And I know this is like the football fan going, no, just run round him and fucking score. It's dead easy to fucking say. But she's like 9 foot tall. And she's not like...
What the fuck are you seeing?
No. I swear to God, he was looking in the ghost room. And he was like...
I'm looking at the back of the camera.
All right, it's not like a Chucky doll stood there.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
She's shredded to fuck. Easy. Okay. She's shredded to fuck and she can't get up.
Don't look.
Is there a clown? I like clowns. My sister does not like clowns. I learned that the hard way. But she's fucking shredded. Megan Anderson is shredded. Yeah, she and is. I was like, I thought, I don't know if she just kept thinking, nah, I'm all right, I'm good. I can do this, I can do this.
Yeah. And a little bit. Yeah. I thought that as well. I mean, when you saw them both face off, you were like, that kind of looks like a bit of a mismatch.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because Megan Anderson, she is big, she's tall, she's built strong. And obviously, Spencer was coming in, six fights? I mean, unbeaten, of course, but...
Yeah. But she reminded me of someone picking up their kids from school and a kid comes out crying and is like, Mum, that boy just did this. And she went, which fucking boy?
Yeah.
And just marched over there and just starts wailing and beating the shit out of someone.
I think, how does she do against Cyborg, though? I mean, that looks like it might be the next fight.
Yeah, well, how does Cyborg come back from being turned off?
The thing is, that's the kind of fight that would... That's the kind of fighter that would catch Cyborg. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for real.
Get a hold of her, drag her to the floor, jump on her back, choke her out.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I'd be interested in seeing that. Because it was... The thing is, I like Megan Anderson... I like a whole deal. She's proper chill. She's into video games and she seems like a lovely person. Mm-hmm. But she got fed to the wolves with Holly Holm. She then just managed to get a toe all the way inside someone's eye, Kat Zingano's eye, who is also another savage. And then unfortunately for her, she did that thing where she's like, a bit different being in the UFC. And I'm the one to fucking show you. And then she's like, mama. Yeah. And I felt really bad for her because it was like, come on now.
She's still developing in her game. But the thing is, she was put straight in against Holly. I mean, she was coming in on a 4-fight win streak from Invicta. And she'd beaten some good fighters coming over from Invicta as well. But, like, she's probably one of the only legit featherweight females that we've got on the roster.
Yes.
You know? Like, aside from Cyborg.
Yeah.
Like, even Holly Holmes, a bantamweight that blows up. Same with Amanda Nunes. There's no way Megan Anderson makes bantamweight. No. You know what I mean? She's a legit featherweight, but there are so few and far between.
It's so hard to get that roster filled up,
isn't it? Not got much competition. I mean, how long has she been in the UFC for? She's had 3 fights so far.
I reckon we should do Dan looking for a fight and go Magaluf, something like that. Just go Magaluf and see when it's like vodka Red Bull, 2 for £1 and just be like, do you want to fight this bitch? Yeah.
It'd be a mess, wouldn't it?
Fucking would.
Probably fighting some contenders, I tell you what. Those girls can throw down.
Yeah, for real.
Ian Heinisch against Shoeface.
How many times did they say Shoeface?
All the time. All the time.
Wasn't it?
If you nicknamed Shoeface, you got to expect to be called nothing but Shoeface.
That was it. Like, the whole time, it's like, yeah, well, Shoeface is just thinking, oh, he's not doing very good, is he? Old Shoeface. And I was like, call him Antonio.
I would make every effort to kick him flat foot with the bottom of my foot.
Or just put your foot on his face and be like, you know what this is called? This Shoeface.
You sound like the Zohan.
Yeah, nobody fucks with this Zohan. You know, he kicks him in the face with his foot.
Just, and now you sound like the Jesus.
I was the Jesus. I dropped into the Big Lebowski then. In fact, I think when we went for our walk on Tuesday, we went to Black Rock and we went to the Peaks, and you were walking on and you mentioned the Big Lebowski, to which I then started to recite the whole bowling scene and realised that it put me out of breath because I'd spoke that long. You were like a mile away. And I was like, nobody fucks with it, Jesus. Look, told you were gone. And I was like, oh, no, I was just talking to myself. Fucking idiot. But yeah, so Shoeface looked good at the beginning.
Yeah.
Heinisch just looked like he was not going out. He was just like, he reminded me a lot of like a Frankie Edgar, head down, wrestle fuck, just...
He's tough. Yeah. He's just tough. The thing is, he's kind of been through the mill in his previous life.
Yeah.
The story, I won't get into his whole backstory, but it's quite animated.
Is he in the same weight class as Dan Hooker? Or is Dan Hooker one down?
No, that's middleweight. Okay. Ian Heinisch is middleweight. Yeah. Dan Hooker's featherweight?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I'm getting mixed
featherweight?
Up.
No,
I think that'd be still a good fight if Dan Hooker wants to put a bit of timber on, or maybe wear a bum bag with a brick in it.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I think it's hard to say how far he's going to go because, you know, I feel like he's still got some technical, there's some holes in his game that we need to see at least tested.
Yeah.
But he's a gamer. He's a little bit like a John Volante at middleweight.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
There are some good fights for him. There are some good fights for him. We'll see how he develops. I'm just going to pull up the rankings now and see where he's sat. He's at 15 now. So you've got Brad Tavares right above him. You know, Tavares
would be a good
Uriah
fight.
Uriah Hall, David Branch, you know, Derek Brunson. They'd all be good fights
for him. I could see him doing quite well against all of them.
Anderson Silva. If he really fancies it, Jared Cannonier would be a good one.
Yes. And they're both quite stacked, aren't they? Cannonier looked like he'd just been carved.
Yeah, shootout, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, it looked like, you know, when Han Solo comes out of carbonite, but it's like he came out good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially when you consider how he looks at heavyweight as well.
Yeah. Man, he's just like... Oh, you want me to get shredded real quick? Yeah, watch this.
Yeah. So go on then, talk to me about the main event. What have you got to tell me? You thought Kevin Lee was going to win, right?
Anderson, yeah, Rafael Dos Anjos on a 2-fight losing streak, right? Mm. And I know about... There was a time, pre-USADA, when he looked unstoppable, then had a couple of losses, and then started sort of talking about camps and things like that. And it was almost like he was openly speaking about the people around me. And I was just like, oh man, is this a USADA thing? Is it actually the camp or what? Because there was a time when no one really knew who he was. The biggest shock to me was when he iced Benson Henderson. That was like, this is a fucking walkthrough. Mm-hmm. You're going to easy win this. And then when he had a word with Pettis, and then when he went on that run, I was like, fuck man, he's like a legit contender now. Mm-hmm. And when he lost the couple, and obviously... just didn't look himself. I mean, obviously Colby Covington, I mean, there was a time when Colby Covington looked like he was gassing and he was going to sort of turn it around, but he sort of looked like he'd lost a bit of that fire. Then installed a full Tom Selleck and came out and was like...
Do you think that's what saved it?
I think it was. The mustache, for real. Yeah, because, I don't know, Kevin Lee, it was when obviously he's got such a chiseled physique to carry around and throw fucking everything into each shot. I just love his backstory. I love the fact that he's moved his family out there. He's looking after his mum. He's called the Motown Phenom, for fuck's sake. He can get away with those gold Elvis glasses.
Yeah. He's wicked, man. He's cool as fuck. We did a Q&A in Glasgow and he was awesome with the fans. He knows how to handle himself with the fans, with the media. He's really good. The thing that stood out to me is that he was fighting five rounds the first time he was stepping up a weight class.
Yeah.
And I would have liked to have seen him in a co-main event at welterweight. You know, yes. just to kind of get three rounds. Because I did pull up the stats for this. I'm not sure whether I've still got them pulled up. I don't. I've changed them to something else.
Because I thought it was a great matchup.
Well, he was almost matching RDA as far as significant strikes landed. He was almost 50-50 with RDA in the first two rounds. But then he dropped off significantly. And I just, you know, that's a part of that is, and this is a concern for Cejudo going up a weight class as well.
Yeah.
You don't know how that extra 10 pounds is going to sit on your frame at competition weight. Like, no. I remember going running at the start of training camp at 205 pounds and at 195 pounds and the difference I would feel in those 10 pounds.
And that's all that is,
And most of that was useless weight anyway because I used to love cake, but you know.
Was that? Cake cookies. No, shout out to donuts.
Oh, man.
But it's like...
Yeah, donuts. Yeah. They should send... I missed them at Body Power. They were
I did
Body
as well.
Power.
I got a lot of energy bars from PHP.
PhD, yeah.
PhD, sorry. Yeah. They were...
Yeah, they're gone. In fact, yeah, they were going to send us some. I've eaten all of mine.
Well, it was the Evolt boys. I think they're the Evolt boys. Pete and his mates, the Aussie boys, were doing the body mass things.
Yeah, I didn't go anywhere near that.
And just kept... No, me neither. It's I don't want to know. Kept feeding everyone these birthday cake bars. And I think I lived off them for about a week. And he was like... Do you want a box? I was like, I fucking love a box. Yeah, crack on.
Yeah, so you've developed like
they look like jazzles, you know, the little
colouring on your skin.
They're like chocolate buttons. You remember the chocolate buttons you used to get with sprinkles in?
Uh-huh.
That was the outer layer.
Yeah,
I've still got some in the fridge, and like when I go to work and I've not bought myself a dinner or got anything, I'm like, there you go. I just have three of them.
That's what you're going for.
Like, yeah, pissing protein bars. But it was donuts were there, but they would I was going to say the 10 pound thing is that 10 bags of sugar is awkward as fuck, isn't it? 10 pounds pound of sugar, that's the same weight, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fucking 10 pounds of sugar,
that's a pound of sugar,
that's fucking crazy.
It's a pound.
It's
a lot of weight.
It's like a newborn baby.
And then you know, like, you move up a weight class, you try and push yourself to work hard and keep up with the pace of someone that's already had the time to adjust to that weight class. Like, what, RDA is what, 3-2 in the division, I think he is.
Yes.
So he's had five fights. I mean, there was an argument because he'd lost two back-to-back against Covington and Usman. I mean, I know they're top of the division, but there was an argument that maybe that's his ceiling at this division. Like, he might go on a streak now, and now he's kind of found his feet.
Now he's not got to worry about Eddie.
Yeah.
He's not got to worry about Eddie, has he? And he's not got to worry... Eddie. He's not really got to worry about Covington or Usman for the near future, because I don't think he's going to get a title shot straight away.
So I was doing on my SiriusXM show, which I do. So if anybody's listening to this that lives in America, SiriusXM, it's on, well, for me, my time, it's 11 p.m. on a Tuesday.
It is, because I've caught you a couple of times when I've been working at night and you've been on the show.
And I'm not sure what time that is in the US, but it's earlier.
It's earlier on a Tuesday.
Yeah, so it's me and RJ, and we chat about stuff. And I have a segment on that called The War Room, where I make... matchups for the winner and the loser of the main event. So I want to run these matchups past you and see what you think.
Go on.
And I'm going to try and remember what I said.
Are they all against Gaethje at some point or another?
All of them.
Okay, that's worked.
All of them. So we've got... Oh, hang on a minute. I've got the wrong rankings pulled up. One moment. The UFC rankings weren't working, so I found my way onto rankingmma.com. And I must admit, I'm quite impressed with it.
Really?
Good. I could do with all of the rankings on the same page, but that's just me being picky.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got RDA. There's nobody really above him, right, that he can face. I mean, you know, Tyron Woodley's out of his fight with Robbie Lawler, so I would say, you know, Robbie Lawler's available for a match, but I'm really not interested in watching that fight.
I don't want to see RDA and Robbie again. No, I want to see Robbie smash someone, to be fair.
What I would like to do is to see RDA against the winner of Askren, Masvidal.
Ooh.
That'd be a nice one, right?
Yeah.
And I think then the winner of that one gets a title shot.
Who do you think's going to win out of Askren Masvidal?
I don't know. Because they've both got the capability of winning, and it can go either way. It really can go either way. I mean, the thing is, Askren can take him down and smother him, and I can picture Masvidal leaning up against the fence at the end of the third round, just being like,
"Come to fight, motherfucker."
Do you remember when, was it Robbie Lawler did it? Who was in on Robbie Lawler's legs? Someone was in on Robbie Lawler's legs,
and he just stood there and
he was just like, he looked up at the clock and was like,
"What's
like,
that?" It was RDA. Like,
there we go.
Because he was just fed up.
See, that there's a possibility that's going to happen.
Masvidal went three with
Maya.
Maya.
Yeah, I know. He's got good takedown defense. He has got good takedown defense. He trains with Covington regularly as well. So, you know, I mean, not that Covington's the same level as Askren as far as wrestling goes, but
do you think that the Till win does a bit of a disservice to Masvidal? Because I think that someone like Ben Askren would have like looked past him if he hadn't seen him knock him out like that. Like, I'm not being funny, Masvidal's a legend,
mm-hmm.
but you've not seen, there's not a highlight reel for Masvidal per se. Whereas now he's got that Darren Till win, it might make Ben Askren go, oh, okay.
Yeah, but then again, he knows his game plan anyway.
He's going straight in on him. He's not fucking around
with the striking range. This is all on Masvidal's takedown defense, which is exactly what Robbie Lawler knew coming into that fight.
Yeah,
which is why he had veins popping out the front of his shoulders going into that fight, because it was all, I've got to keep this guy on his feet. I've got to keep lifting him up and defending that takedown.
I just wanted to see that run back, to be fair.
Yeah.
I don't mind the matchup, but I think that Rocky Edwards has missed a fucking...
Oh, man. It was disappointing for that. But then, you know, he put his name in the hat for the Robbie Lawler fight.
So that'd be good.
That would be really
good. That's a massive coming out party, because if you can survive against Robbie a little bit, I mean, if he did anything half of what he did against Gunny with Robbie, then, mate, how many people has Robbie put on the map? There's a lot of people, right? Yeah. The most people that you speak to, they don't really watch it. They go, have you ever seen Robbie Lawler and Rory McDonald? Yes, mate, his lip fell off.
You'd be annoyed, though, if you're a Robbie Lawler and your opponent pulled out and you were called out by half the division.
Yeah.
I would be annoyed. I'd be like, really? I'm not, you know,
I'm a savage motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ring Tiki. He won't remember it, but I fucked him up.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah, for real. He fucking broke the octagon, didn't he? He was like, blink. Yeah. Watch that fight. He misses. He smashes him, knocks him out, and then throws another punch and it just hits the fucking octagon.
He's so lucky that punch hard. Didn't land. He's so lucky that punch didn't land.
He wouldn't have known he wasn't lucky, though.
That's true.
Because he would have been like
that would have been Space Cowboy. That would have been Dan Henderson, Michael Bisping level of landing punch. Right? Yeah.
Prince Philip meme.
So Kevin Lee, right? He's now in the welterweight rankings somehow. I'm not sure how that works. But this ranking's got him at number 13.
Okay. Who's around him?
Well, Santiago Ponzinibbio is one above him.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Neil Magny's one below him.
But just pops, so won't be anywhere near a fight for a while.
But the fights that I would like to see him in, I have two picks. At 16 and 18 in the rankings. Mike Perry.
All day.
Imagine that. Imagine a trash talk. Kevin Lee, Mike Perry. And the other one's Gunnar Nelson.
I like the Mike Perry because it would just be a rock'em sock'em. Like,
it would.
You wind them both up. And someone shared that clip again the other day of Mike Perry, and he's saying, and you're in the cage and they're like, go, Mike, go now. Go. He's like, I don't want to fucking go right now. You hit him. I don't want to get punched right now. And I watched it about 10 times. But
he's hilarious. He's like the second coming of Phil Baroni.
Always my hero.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see the Fight Pass of recently... they've recently done the Lion's Den video.
Oh, have they really?
With Ken. Which always breaks my heart a bit, because Frank Shamrock was the first middleweight champion in the UFC. He's not in the Hall of Fame and has never, ever been credited for anything.
Is that right?
And him and Frank were adopted, struggled, built this fucking savage gym. It was a wicked documentary, to be fair, watching it. But... yeah, I loved the old days with Phil Baroni. Phil Baroni's like ravishing Rick Rude, wasn't he?
That when I remember, was it one of the UFCs in like the 50s or something? UFC 50
came out in a dressing gown,
and he came out in that like red sequin gown
with the white,
brilliant
New York
and his sunglasses
and his hat on.
And then you've got Coleman and Kevin Randleman behind him that are like, I mean, they were like far more kind of like athlete wrestler. I mean, Randleman used to dye his hair.
White,
didn't he? Yeah. He was wicked. He was awesome. Random and was, but like they were far more low key. And then in front of him, you got this guy like swaggering out,
was full
with his
Rocky.
Chest out, full bodybuilder. Yeah. Do you remember those photos that got leaked as well, where
ridiculous.
He's like doing push ups in the sand in like this pair of denim cutoffs, like he's Daisy Dukes,
jorts. What are your jorts saying, Phil Baroni? And then
guy,
I saw something on him. He's like living in his car, and I was like, oh, Phil. And then I think, did he bare knuckle fight Chris Lieben? Oh no, it was Elite XC. Did you ever watch Elite XC, Phil Baroni against Frank Shamrock? That was a fucking knock. No, that was when Nick Diaz was not back in the UFC for whatever reason. I don't know if he'd had a fight with, what's his name, in the hospital and pulled him off a gurney. Joe Riggs.
Yep.
I don't know where these names are coming from, but you know what I mean. And it was the Elite XC days when I think Nick Diaz had fought Frank and broke his arm with a kick. And Frank was still looking fucking badass. Yeah. We're saying, I mean, obviously,
Frank,
I don't know.
Frank Shamrock was good.
I don't know how well he was propped up. He beat Tito, man.
Yeah, he was a good fighter, Frank Shamrock was.
And then it was Frank against Phil Baroni. And they were both just fucking, like, I don't know.
I haven't seen that.
Juiced up to the fucking nines and just beat the shit through each other. It was brilliant.
I haven't watched that. I'll have to go back and watch
it. It's well worth it. So, so I'd like to see him against the new version of... I'd like to see Phil Baroni in Mike Perry's corner.
Oh, that'd be good.
Could you imagine that?
Yeah. Personality coaching.
Phil and Mike do the Gumball Rally.
Oh, that'd be awesome. They'd be a good tag team in WWE.
Yo.
Right?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Mike Perry and Phil Baroni proudly bring to you the fucking tag team of the world. They're the badass, man.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah, innit?
What, New York badass.
Yeah. The God's gift and the New York badass. That's a good tag team partnership right there.
We're going to have to get that new tattoo, though, for him, aren't we? We're just going to have to go up a few fonts because he's just so fucking good. I love watching him.
It is a tiny tattoo.
And he's batshit crazy. Like when he was with you was it Sweden or somewhere, and he had that, that trapper hat on and a t-shirt. And he's like, yo, let's fuck it. And he's like, chill out, bro.
He was not what I expected him to be at all.
Really?
He was far more well considered than I was expecting. I thought he was just going to be a bit kind of ragged and a bit mad. But he was, every question I asked him, it was really... You know, you could see him taking his time.
Did he ponder?
Really kind of, he did ponder.
Imagine.
He did ponder. I didn't expect Perry to ponder.
I don't ponder often.
No.
I've normally got something dropping in my head. It's like, say that, Charmaine.
People with face tattoos very seldom ponder.
Find. Yeah. Talk about face tattoos and people like Mike Tyson. You see how many people got fucking all riled up about Deontay Wilder? And like got crazy mad about him talking about killing someone in the cage, in the ring. As much as I was like, all right. It's a bit wank. I didn't think it deserved it because it's like
drama, isn't it? Mike Tyson said he was going to eat his opponent's kids. Who was that?
He shouted at someone, "I fuck you till you love me, motherfucker," to a dude who like said something wrong, and he was like, "I fuck you till you love me, motherfucker." And then when he was sat and there's that guy interviewing him, and he's live TV, and he's like, "You're a fucking bitch. You know what I mean, motherfucker? You're a fucking bitch." And it's like, what? And it's like, okay, Mike, come on. Because he brings up his rape allegation that he served time for. Mm. And he's everyone's favourite boxer. He's like the nicest guy in the world. Yeah. Who served time for rape, but he's still a legend.
The thing is...
Kid Kat.
The thing is, did...
Oh, that's cut out of it. Yeah, Tyson.
Wait. Yeah.
And Deontay.
But you watched his podcast with Rogan, right?
Yeah, when he gave him his humidor.
He's a different individual now.
Of course, yeah.
He's very, you know, I had this debate a while ago with a coach of mine, and it was about Tukey Williams.
Okay.
You know, the founder of the Crips.
I don't.
Tukey Williams, I might be way off on this. I'm pulling this from my back catalogue somewhere. So if I remember right, Tukey Williams was the founder of the Crips. The reason he went into prison was because he shot somebody outside of a convenience store, like execution style, like made him kneel
like
down.
Like American History X.
Game over. He went in and he did time. He was on death row for ages and ages. While he was on death row, he won the Nobel Peace Prize for his books.
Of course he did.
They still put him to death.
Motherfucker.
And my argument with my old coach was that there are times when you have to look at how much a person's changed and see that there's more value in that person staying alive.
Yeah, let's keep
and
around.
Helping convert other people that are going down the wrong path instead of being like, you know what, good effort, you still got to pay for that.
Yeah, well,
there are certain things that you draw a line under and you're like, no.
Like Ted Bundy, we watched the Ted Bundy thing the other day, and it's like
pushed his luck a bit, didn't he?
Pushed it. Well, he got caught because he didn't have his lights on in his car and he had his rape kit behind him. It's a bit like, all right, mate, you got your license. What's that? Just my balaclava. All right, mate, just get out of the car a second. Bollocks. That's how he got caught.
Yeah.
But because the new film has got, is it Zac Efron?
Yeah,
He's the fucking man. He's so fucking cool because he's in The Lorax, which is a kid's film. It's a Dr. Seuss film. And his name in The Lorax is Ted. But his name in this is obviously Ted Bundy. But he's such a fucking like charismatic dude. The whole time, I know that he did it, but yeah. I'm like, maybe he's all right. Maybe he's good. Look at that charming motherfucker.
It's like Dexter, though, wasn't it? You used to watch Dexter and be like, yeah, that motherfucker deserved it.
Well, that's it, yeah. Well, it's like, well, even like with the Crips and stuff like that, there's certain people that like, when they say, I've changed, don't leave me with your kids, but I've changed. Yeah, like, okay. Like we always, when we were at school, we used to have people come in to do drugs talks and stuff. And it was someone in a tracksuit from a fucking prison in like Liverpool or Sheffield or something.
Who was selling after school.
For real. All right, kids, listen, like, I got into drugs back in the day and it was like, it was started with weed. And like, here's some weed, pass it around, kids, have a sniff. And I was like, all right. Is that Indian black? Nice. Is that golf ball? Do you know what I mean? Is that squishy red? And literally, the weed got robbed. He went fucking bonkers, this reformed criminal that's come to the school. Basically, they were passing around this piece of resin for everyone to have a sniff of what not to buy off the dealer. And I was like, this is fucking crazy. If we'd have had someone from the Crips that was like, yo, shit got kind of real. These tattoos here.
Yeah.
Yeah, they mean that I can't go into this, this and this neighborhood. That's fucking scary. Mm. We've got some scumbag who used to be a plasterer that maybe did a bit of time for some blow and he's fucking trying to rehabilitate us before we've done anything in a really posh school in Duffield.
And it didn't work.
Did it fuck? I need to steer clear away from his fucking resin though. It was shit. Kids coming to school with hot rocks all over them. Yeah, not good stuff. I fucking dodgy.
A good lesson that day. A useful lesson.
Yeah, I would have preferred the Crips one. I would have much preferred the Crips one, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got, there was a lot of scaring straight. You know, in I used to do school talks in my old job because basically it was building a brand and it was like coming from nothing and not, I didn't get my exams and pass or anything. And I can remember feeling, I went to this school, which is just up the road from me. And I did this big talk. It was really good. Everyone loved it. And I was feeling really on top of myself. And this girl came out and she was fucking the nicest girl I ever met. Really lovely. And she's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh, just building a brand. And she's like, oh, okay. I was like, what about you? And she's like, oh, I died twice. I was a heroin addict and now I'm reformed. And I've basically reinvented Jesus and fucking made these baby unicorns. And I was like, oh, shit. Well, you're the fucking man. Nice one. And just made me feel like the biggest lump of shit ever because she'd taken what was such a horrible life and made the best life out of it. And I was like, I got arrested for shoplifting once. So I'm kind of in your crew.
Yeah.
Bra.
You were moving the right way on the spectrum, but you just didn't move quite as far as she did.
No, well, she went mad dark and then came back and was like, yeah, well, I made it out of that.
You might have overachieved, though. Had you been given those disadvantages in life?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Try this.
You had unfair advantages in life.
That's it. What are you doing to that spoon? Fuck off.
So, before we wrap up.
Oh, go on.
It's Polaris this weekend.
Nice. Okay.
We'll be there. We'll be gathering. We'll be harvesting content.
Nice. Are you going to say hello to my mate, Faye?
Well, the main event is Faber against Nicky Ryan, which is going to be a really interesting matchup. But we're not going to dwell on it too much because I'm judging, so I don't want to pay too much attention to the card. But there's a matchup on the card, and I'm going to fire the names at you individually. And I want you to you're looking at it. That's cheating.
Okay.
And I want you to tell me what your first memory is when I mention the name. The first name is Lee Remedios.
Why is that a rhyming name?
Lee Remedios.
Yeah.
Why do you recognise the name?
I don't know.
You don't. He's a UFC veteran.
Lee Remedios.
I believe he had one fight in the UFC, if I remember correctly.
Let me see him.
Bonus points for. Hang on, you can't.
I've got to have a look at his face.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Got to see that cheeky. But there's a lot of people on this.
I'm just going to double check. I think he only had one fight in the UFC. I'm going to pull up a picture of him.
Look at Trevor Birmingham's Barnett.
Do you recognise him? There he is. There he is. That's Lee.
Yeah, I do recognise him.
Right, he had one fight in the UFC. I'll give you a bonus point. I'll send it in the post. If you can tell me who he fought in the UFC.
What era was it?
What
era?
What era was it?
Like,
it was
your era, before?
If I told you the event, it would give it away. Maybe it wouldn't.
Why, is it Lee Remedios versus BJ Penn or something? Guess now, motherfucker.
No, it was the very first event in the UK. UFC 38. Second round submission. Rear naked choke.
By him?
No, he lost.
Was it Spencer Fisher Paul Kelly? Paul Taylor. Oh, no.
Oh, we're all one.
Oh! It's in there. It's in my head.
No, you don't get the point. No, it's too late. It's too late. It was Genki Sudo.
Oh, man. See?
We need to go back and watch that fight.
Yeah, for real.
Because Genki Sudo was doing all kinds of weird shit. He used to walk ass first towards him doing this weird sweeping things with his hands, didn't he? And like doing the robot dance and stuff.
Crazy.
He was awesome to watch. Very talented. But he kind of toyed with him a little bit in the first round. And the second round, he like whipped him into this like 720
degrees. Is that when he threw his legs at him?
Rear naked choke.
Yeah.
Wicked. The other name on the card is Lee Remedios' opponent, Cal Uno.
Hey!
I have one clear memory of Cal Uno.
Getting smashed up against the cage by BJ Penn in 13 seconds.
No.
Easy.
But yes. Oh, yes. That of was course.
Full. He was wasn't just it? Like, BJ Penn was like, did he throw a flying kick? And he was like, no.
Yeah.
And then just he ran. Biffed his fucking eight through the mesh. And it was like,
yeah. It was rough, wasn't it? And unfortunately, the camera shot right after BJ was hitting him with all those punches, just left Cal him. Uno, his like, eyes were in. Oh, man, that
he
was
had
rough.
Orange and grey shorts on.
Always. And he always came into the octagon and he laid out flat and used to fall flat into the octagon.
Yeah.
My everlasting memory of him was, and I'm pretty sure the opponent was Fabiano Ihar, and he always used to wear the Tito shorts, black shorts with the flames. There was like a judo throw where Ihar tried to throw him and Cal Uno tried to dig in and resist, and he'd flipped and gone face first into the canvas.
Yeah.
Awful. Really nice guy though.
I like Cal Uno. The thing is, after you see BJ Penn break his head, it was really hard to watch because I mean I saw him a few times after that because did he fight Hermes Franca?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, we can't talk about Hermes Franca a lot too much because he's serving time for interfering with small people. Yeah. But
he was a weird. He was man.
Yeah, his fights against who am I?
Who was the other Sean guy Shirt, that he bro. Fought? He had a Hermes Franca had a fight with another guy that was a real weirdo as well. I can't remember his name. A karate guy. He kept sending me private messages on Twitter and calling me out. Like, why won't you fight me, bro? Why won't you fight me?
Put it on normal Manny Twitter and we'll talk about it.
I don't know.
Manny, not Manny Gamborian.
No. Different one. Different Manny.
If you ever get a chance to watch that season of The Ultimate Fighter, I think it was season 5, BJ Penn against Little Evil's Jens Pulver, who is a fucking legend, by the way, and favorites. The best guy. And BJ Penn and Jens Pulver fought, and BJ Penn was like the prodigy and was the next guy, and obviously fucking Jens Pulver came out and beat him and was part of the Miletic team and he just looked like he had worked every job in the world and was exhausted, every manual labour job. And he came in and was like, oh, fine, I'll do that, okay. And then he sort of went out of the scene and he fought Faber, I think, twice in the WEC, once to 5 rounds and once he got guillotined. But he's always an OG. And when they did that season, BJ Penn was still winning. And basically, BJ Penn at the bidding goes, who wants to be on my team? And they all put their hand up.
Yeah, I remember.
And
that.
Jens Pulver, he didn't even say anything. He just sort of looked like he'd been bullied. And I was like, oh.
Playing games, BJ.
Yeah, he fucked him over, man. It was horrible. But yeah, I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Always used to love watching Jens Pulver fight.
Oh, the reason I was saying that, dickhead, was that Manny Gamborian was in that season.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, his cousin?
Yeah.
Is
Cara
Parisian.
Yeah.
Who is a fucking psycho. And Nate Diaz is in that season.
Yeah, he was good, Cara Parisian was, wasn't he?
He was if he got out to the cage.
Well, yeah.
But he was in the locker room and he was talking to Nate and kept touching him. And Nate was like, yo, don't do that, my dude. And he was like,
Nate Diaz.
Yeah, Nate. He was doing it to Nate. All right, dickhead. All right, motherfucker. And he was like, oh, yo, I fucking mean it. And he sort of, they went outside and all kicked off. But it's definitely worth watching, man. Yeah, he went all spaghetti on.
Wicked.
He's cool. Got a fight, hasn't he?
Hey?
Nate.
I know he has. That's wicked.
Do you reckon he's going to do it? Do you reckon he's running out of a bit of money?
I hope so.
I've got a list of stuff.
Go on then. We've got to hustle though.
Do you want to run through these real quick?
Go on then. I'm getting tired. It's been a long day.
Okay.
It's been a... Please understand.
Please understand.
If I miss anybody.
It's been a long day. I will run through a couple of these then.
Go on then.
After Body Power, I found my Vibrams. You know the shoes with the toes?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you wore them on the walk.
I did. Yeah, it was nice. They're wicked. They smell after you've worn them because you can't wear socks with them. But other than that, I was cool. So on, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, I took the kids to school, ran up the steps and took Libby in and we sit down and we do terrific tens where she does all her sums and I'm fucking learning a bit of maths every day, which is nice. And basically, I was the last out and Mrs. Shaw, who's lovely, teaching assistant, was at the back door and she looked down and she went, ooh, what are those? And I was like, oh, they're called Vibrams. And the biggest thing is that how long do they take to put on? Are they comfortable? Are they like gloves for your feet? So I was used to all that. And she went, oh, I didn't expect you to have them. And I was like, what? Let me dig deeper, bro. Like. And I was like, what are you saying? She was like, what are they for? And I was like, I think people do a lot of running. And she went, you don't run. I was like, fucking hell. All right, chubby funster. What the fuck? I can't call you fat. I mean, she's lost a lot of weight, to be fair. But it was one of them where I was like, fully like rocking in my vibrams, quite happy. And then she's just like, why have you got them? All the gear, no idea. Fucking dickhead. And that got me onto the next thing of, is there anything? I know we can use your photography, your flintlock pistols, your Lego, your crystals. What is the thing you've gone all in on so quick? Because me and Kid Mystery were talking about this the other day. Like, you have the smallest interest in something. Like, you watch a jiu-jitsu match, and then you've got like a Hayabusa, long sleeve rashi, short sleeve rashi, spats. You've got the bag. You've got a professional gum shield. Do you know what I mean? You go out and it's like, before you've even done it, you've like, I don't know, you went to a village fair and you had to go a bow and arrow, and now you've got like a Hoyt fucking
I'm still planning on getting into archery at some point. That's on the list.
My mate's selling a bow.
And when I decide, is that right?
Yeah, really good bow. Oh, yeah.
I think I might need it.
Yeah, I'll speak to Tony.
And when I decide, I'm a bit like that. I'm a bit obsessive like that. My mum's the same. Like, she's mad Beatrix Potter. And then mad teddy bears as well. She's got a teddy bear collection.
Yeah, but that's a collection she's always had. Have you ever?
Not always. Because like all of a sudden she'll develop a new collection, and then all of a sudden like the house is half full.
Has to be all of them.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. And
yeah, I jump from one thing to another, but I circle back around.
Yeah.
Like I've got a collection of boxing gloves, and I'll keep gradually adding to that. But then again, there'll be a spurt where I'll buy sort of four or five pairs.
Yeah,
because I want to play with them all. And
yes,
then, you know what I mean.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
A bit like that. Same with Lego. If there's a set that comes out, like when the Star Wars stuff came out, and Frank Mir made the mistake of buying me the Millennium Falcon, I was like, well, now I've got to have all the rest of it.
Yeah, for real.
Like I was doing a really good job of avoiding the Star Wars Lego, but now I have the Millennium Falcon.
Why are you literally clicking it together?
I need all of the rest of it.
Yeah.
So I did. I went and bought all of it.
But I think, like, I did it with my Mac. I toyed over buying a Mac forever, and I got it from Apple as a refurb, like a Apple like certified refurb. So instead of it being, say, a grand, it was like £600.
Mm.
And I'd just been made redundant, so I had a little bit of folding cash, and I was like, this is going to be my business now.
Imagine if you just saved Star Wars figures.
Mate, I could have bought this house. I swear to God, all of it. So it took me about 2 months to make a decision to buy a Mac.
Mm-hmm.
But then the minute I'd pressed buy, I was on eBay buying a mouse, the case, the sleeve it goes in, like a power lead, these
like Joey Tribbiani buying all the fucking, was it Porsche or Ferrari?
Yeah, all the gear. Like, I was dripping, and I must have spent £600 on, I've got a case in that bag, which has got a mouse in it, but it's a zip up case to have the magic mouse in. How fucking cool is that?
That's awesome. But
didn't need it. No, because when I'm toying with that, oh, by the way, I've got no job, bit of spending cash, going to start my own business, darling. Am I right to drop £400 on shit? And she's like, where's all this come from? I was like, I don't know. We needed it. Spares.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was bad. Right, a quick one. Let me see what else I've got on her, because there's a couple of things that drop into my head. And
I was going to give the Apple store in Leicester a shout out, but we've not gone to see them yet. We're going to go and see him tomorrow. So, I mean, by the time this podcast comes out, we will have been into the Apple store. So everybody listening to this, hope that it went well, because we're buying loads of stuff that we need. And
yeah.
We want them to give us
please
a good
help
price.
Us we're, and we're, listen to this we're, at
we're
some
poor,
point.
We're poor podcasters. You know how it is.
So
barely making ends meet.
That's it. Barely. But I've got... Oh, no, that's not that. That's something else.
Is it?
Don't do that on a night out. Did you do that thing? This came onto my embarrassing kids thing, because it was one of them where you used to do it at school. It was almost an excuse to be able to run your hands down a girl's back, and you used to do that poem, and it was called Long Line, Short Line. Can you remember? You used to do it when I'd done something like Long Line, Short Line, ? And you made give them the shivers. Did you ever do that?
No.
I used to do the egg crack.
Egg on the head, yeah. So basically it went Long Line, Short Line,
so you could stroke the hair. Dot.
Yeah, that was it. Oh my God, that smells like an A&A or fucking Reeve Gauche or fucking some old shit perfume. Exclamation. Charlie Red. Fucking hell. So, we used to do that. Did you ever used to do that? You know what I mean? Crack it. Yeah.
I went to a civilized school with normal children.
Oh, mate. Well, It's one of them where the kids bought the kids bought what it the up the other day. What did he say?
He went, oh, I don't know.
Did you set fire to that school?
I've got you back.
But I'm pretty sure you set fire to it.
Yeah, I did.
Embarrassing kids.
It was cold.
It was cold that night.
It was December in my defence.
You were saying earlier, it's handy to have kids for toys. It's equally as bad on the embarrassing scale. I don't get embarrassed very easy or at all, but I get flustered with children. When, like, basically, the other day, I've worked quite a few jobs, so I know quite a few people, but I don't always remember names. Mm. Like, I can remember what they ate on their birthday when they were 17, or I could tell them what their mum bought them for Christmas. But I can't always remember the names. And I always meet people like, yo, dude, easy man, ask things. And I can sort of fish the name out of them while we're talking, yeah, or say something outlandish till they say, nah, that was Steve.
How do you do that? How do you fish their name out of them?
Mate, it comes, trust me. You have to, it's a skill.
That's a skill I need to learn.
Because the problem is...
Very rarely do I say my own name.
Yeah, that's it.
Unless I'm referring to somebody else as Dan.
But the majority, if someone walked past you, they'd say, Dan already, wouldn't they? There's got
to
be
every
a GSP.
Motherfucker that answers the phone to me says it like that. It's ridiculous, honestly.
We have to, man. That's our privilege for you doing five rounds.
You would think that is a one-way phone to GSP.
Yeah,
you literally would. Every time I answer it, there's someone doing an impression of him.
But no one can get past that, Dan already. No. Yeah, well, so with that, remembering names and trying to fish it out of someone, I was with the kids the other day, and basically someone came over to me and was like, yo, how's things, man? How are you getting on? And all the rest of it. And like, gave me this massive embrace. And I remember the guy. We worked together for a long time, but I was just like, and you know when you think to yourself, oh, I know his name, and then it's like your brain goes, no, you fucking don't. And you're like, oh, don't do that, yeah, dickhead.
It was there.
Bring it back, there. Yeah. Trying to remember a dream. And you're like, oh, what happened? Oh, and it had gone. But I thought, fuck it, we're good. Because I'm busy, I'm on my way through. Stace is taking a fucking walk, so that's cool. So I've got to bounce. So I was talking to him, everything was good. And Moo was like, daddy, who's that?
And while he's there?
While he was there. So like, we're having this conversation, like properly broing out from back in the day. And she's like, oh, daddy, who's that? I was like, oh, we used to work together.
It's thing, isn't it? Like, it's old.
That's
old
what
mate.
I did.
It's, you know,
I said, we
had loads
together.
Of nicknames for him. Man. We can't get into him now.
It's,
you're not old enough.
Tommy Dick Fingers.
Tommy Dick Fingers. Yes.
King Billy Big Bollocks. This man, he's the fucking boy. All right, you big cunt. So basically, went from that and she went, no, but what's his name? And almost like, specifically. His
that's
first,
why kids
and
are the scariest in
and
horror
I was like,
movies.
Yo, fuck off,
then
bro.
They know how to get inside your head. She knew you didn't know.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about shoplifting earlier because I had a problem back in the day of stealing things and from
problem.
Shops. It was a problem because I was really good at it. I used to take orders and people would ask me, like, can you get me this? I'd be like, of course I can. Fucking watch me. I still sell it to them. But I basically, my reign came to an end when I was about 13, before you could get a criminal record, and I got pinched in Woolworths, which was a shop of dreams, shop of wonder. If you went anywhere,
cars from
even if you went on holiday, you hadn't been on holiday properly until you'd gone into Woolworths with your holiday money. So it was cool as fuck. But I got caught stealing Power Ranger Pogs for my little brother, which was wanky as fuck.
Yeah.
But anyway, I sort of fell out of that. But
still wanking it.
Yeah,
I mean,
pretty wank. The problem was with the kids' side of things. You almost get this little tickle if you needed something, but it's not a full set of something, but you might have like run out of teaspoons. And so when you've got your kids on your shoulders, you pass them a teaspoon or whatever. Walk out the shop. So if anyone says, oi, are you robbing that? You'd be like, oh, fucking hell, sorry, bro. And you give it them back. Yeah. If you get it, you've got a free spoon.
How did that TV get up there?
Yeah.
Come back here.
Fucking hold on to this movie, you tonk motherfucker. She's got 57-inch plasma. Anyway, what you have to be aware of is when they start talking back, because they'll go out the shop and be like, daddy, you haven't paid for this.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah, that's a quick lesson to stop stealing with your children.
Dude, we could buy Power Ranger Pogs on eBay.
How much are they?
It doesn't matter. We could have all of them. What
We've
do you reckon?
Got all the normal Pogs were better than Power Ranger Pogs. The
were
Power
good.
Ranger ones were
did,
dog
did,
shit.
Did,
they
the
weren't worth the time.
Were amazing. They
yeah,
were good.
They were.
I never played the game. Oh, hang on.
Two
is
bins.
That it?
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. Well, see? That was embarrassing, kids. Why don't... I've got loads more shit, but
we've been recording
for
that long?
Yeah, like an hour and a half.
Jesus, fell into a vortex.
We did.
Did we talk about the fights?
Not at all.
There are no fights this weekend, right?
No. The one thing I want to remember is if you see us in Vegas, I'm going to take some extra swag, and then the phrase you need to say out loud to us
before the battery goes
is from Full Metal Jacket, and it's, I don't know, but I've been told Eskimo pussy is mighty cold. And you have to do that full bollocks, and we'll give you some swag. All right?
Wicked.
I'll remind you next week, but that's the thing. I need to hear that on the strip. Okay, I'll shut up talking. Take it easy.
Wicked. See you next time. Thanks for listening.
I felt like a reptile. I felt like a reptile.